The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States
heavyweight.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring. And you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? This guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. About hypnosis. Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. How's it going, Mo?
Quite contrary to what Jay to the Max said on SmackDown Matters, she wanted to give up some of those fan clubs. She can't be trying to monopolize being the president of the fan clubs and, you know, trying to hog up all the talent. So we wanted to have a talk and we wanted to come up off of some of those presidencies or else.
Well, she did let you be the vice president of the Sonya Deville fan club.
I don't think so. Either I'm either president or else. No, she tried to make me be the treasurer, and I was about to find a flight out to San Diego, wherever she's at on the West Coast, be like, and confront her on that one. Like, hold on, you ain't gonna try to just kick me, remove me from the leadership role.
This is The Rawcast. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, all the normal podcast suspects. All you have to do is search for The Wrestlecast - the CSPN. Subscribe to the logo with the New Day holding the Wrestlecast sign to get The Rawcast in your queue each and every week. So, as we do each and every week at this time to start the show, we're going to turn it over to my man, Mo Meltzer, for the news report.
I don't know. Y'all better keep listening because Don might try to cut me off like you always do.
Hey, man, I'm a layback, and I'm finna watch the rest of this main event while you talk.
This guy here.
Hey, man, multitask. If I don't multitask, I can't get none of this stuff done.
All right, man, calm down. So this past Sunday, Booker T had his A&E biography aired, you know, and you know, a lot of us was in a hashtag on a timeline, you know, live tweeting it and everything. It was the typical WWE slant of the telling their story. They went back into, you know, Booker T's, you know, upbringing, you know, the Houston area of Texas and just what he went through, you know, losing his mother at a young age and going to jail, having a son at a young age and then, you know, making his way, you know, Ivan Putski opened up the wrestling school and they went to the wrestling school and, you know, they got put on, you know. And, you know, they was talking about how they dealt with, you know, a lot of the racist things that people were saying. So it wasn't just Sturgis at the WCW pay-per-view. They was getting it when they was up and coming as well, too.
Yeah, so, I heard that they mentioned some of the stuff that they went through in Global.
Yeah. And one wrestler said is, he said he was talented. So he told Booker T he was talented, but a lot of people are going to try to, you know, say things to him or, you know, try to, you know, hinder their progress. So you got to find a way around that. Booker was like, we went through it. I was like, I'm sure you did.
That particular wrestler would be Ox Baker, the master of the heart punch, who legally killed a man in a riot one time.
Oh, damn, Don. You come with a news bet.
Oh, yeah. That's Ox Baker was in Battle for L.A. back in the day, too. He was like a movie star. He was in a couple of movies just because he had such a original look. But, yeah, Ox Baker, yeah, he really killed it. He was wrestling Bobo Brazil in Detroit, and they was getting the heat on Bobo, and a riot broke out, and, yeah, Ox Baker ended up killing one of the guys in self-defense in the riot.
Oh, wow. God damn. Yeah, so you know, they talked about, you know, they came to WCW. So the first thing was they didn't talk about how the names they was talking about, you know, they mentioned G.I. Bro, but they didn't talk about how when they came to WCW they were Colin Kane, and how they were with Tennessee Lee and had the I guess did they come out like part of the chain game or something like that?
Yeah.
So it was a whole lot of
shackles. Yeah.
Yeah, a whole lot of questionable, you know, booking creative there in those WCW days. Yeah. So that was that. So, you know, I think it's David Dennis who's on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so apparently he had an extended talk with Booker T about the WrestleMania 19 situation, about that whole setup for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they did talk about when Booker T cut the infamous "We Coming for You." Okay.
Yeah, the dark match to all the Patreon listeners. Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. So if you are a Patreon, a patron, you will hear that promo at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny, they never really talked about racist Terry's response. When he was like, he came and told me, he said he's one of the good ones or something like that.
Yeah, but they failed to dive in deep on the WrestleMania 19 build up though, which
he said that he talked to him about it and it didn't make it. So everyone was like, so it was one of the headlines was like controversial segment pulled from Booker T's biography, and that's what it was. And so Booker T responded to that and said that, yeah, we talked about it, but that wasn't supposed to be in there. And I was like,
but you can't talk about the career of Booker T in WWE without talking about that though.
Exactly. You know, that's something that happened, and people was like, and people still talk about that, and Bruce Prichard to this day will defend it and say that it wasn't racist. It was, you know, just the booking and everything. You know, that was just how it was booked. And I was like, you can say that, but people ain't gonna believe it. You can sit there and say, you can talk to, you turn red and as brother love and everything, but they're not gonna believe it. They're gonna be like, that was damn near racist. And, you know, just sitting there and saying, Triple H, you know, speaking highly about Booker T, and it was just like people just like still rubbed the wrong way about that. They was like, you know, the wrong wrestler won. I said, of course, you know, Triple H wasn't going to lose to a WCW wrestler. You know, we saw what happened with Booker T, and we saw what happened years later with Sting when he had the match with Sting. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, Vince ain't going to allow that.
Yeah, Vince definitely ain't gonna allow that. But he was talking about, Booker T, he stepped up, you know, he stepped up, he made a name for himself and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that's still one.
One thing I was saying was that I see why he's the way that he is on when he's talking about, he did not say that it's right, but I see why he's that way when he's talking about how he's talked about, you know, what he says about the other black wrestlers because of, you know, what he went through and everything. And I'm guessing, you know, I'm guessing for him, he wants to see them be successful as they are and everything. But he got to realize, you know, everyone, you know, isn't the same, you know. What worked for you is not going to necessarily work for a Sasha Banks, or it's going to work for a Bianca, or Street Profits, or Apollo Crews, or Cedric, or Shelton, or Bobby Lashley. Ain't going to work for them. But I'd say it was good. They said the ratings was down compared to the Macho Man's Rowdy and Stone Cold one. Right. Also, was they said those ratings were down. But funny, they were talking about the Austin Booker T. Oh man, that was a great. That segment was so great.
The grocery store fight.
Yes, I love that. I love that. That battle between those two.
This week is going to be Cold. Shawn Michaels, so you know that's going to be ratings going to be through the roof.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah. Even for pay per view.
Oh, I forgot the pay per view. I forgot. Oh, yeah, it's going to be at the same time, so maybe not. Yeah, but I don't know. More people might actually tune in to the, more people might have. I'm pretty sure more people have biography A&E than they have Peacock. So. Yeah, it could be neck and neck there for the ratings.
Yeah, well, it was funny, Stone Cold walking out the supermarket and say, price check on the jackass. He's like, they still quote that line to this day.
Yeah.
They were talking about when Booker T attacked Stone Cold, I think, it was at one of the pay-per-views, he attacked him. He dumped him on his table, but he said that. But Stone Cold said that he was like, he said he did everything right. It was just that he was just so sweaty. He just, you know, slipped off. He just got slammed on the table. He just slipped off, and that was it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people was like, you know, you take out the top guy, you know, going to rub the people the wrong way. So I guess I was like, I guess Stone Cold was the head of the table, you know, at that point in time.
Yeah, Stone Cold was definitely the head of the table at that point in time. But yeah, Stone Cold will always tell you that it wasn't anything that Booker did. It was just a circumstance. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, they tried to put heat on him for it, but he was the first one to stand up for him and be like, nah, he didn't do nothing. You know, it wasn't like that.
Right.
Plus, you know, they had a little history from WCW and stuff, so in Texas and stuff like that. So it wasn't like they were foreign to each other by the time Booker T got to WWE.
Yeah, they did have some cross paths down in Texas. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Jeff Jarrett's podcast, and him and Stone Cold had some legit heat with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They had legit heat, especially when Deborah came along.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when Deborah and Michael came along, that was some legit heat there, too. He was, and he was talking about, he was like, yeah, what happened? Paul Bearer was going overseas. And so Paul Bearer told the Jeff Jarrett, he said, well, I guess your gimmick's over. Cause Deborah and Stone Cold had officially became a couple. And so he knew that they was like, he wasn't gonna want him to work with he wasn't gonna want Deborah to work with Jeff Jarrett no more. Cause them two didn't like each other at all. And that was back when those Dallas days when Steve Austin was starting out. And Jeff Jarrett was the man down there because his father had that pull down there.
Yeah, Jerry Jarrett was the booker.
Yeah, right. Man.
Mr. Booker Man.
You know, the chicken Sally. Yeah, okay, so next on the docket. So Friday was Throwback SmackDown is a part of Throwback Week on FS1 and Fox, and the race that they was talking about wasn't even. Didn't you say that the race they was talking about wasn't even on Fox?
Nope, it was on FS1.
Yeah, but it was still a Fox entity though. But so
I was. Darlington should, if it was that big of a deal that they made all the shows on all the sports on the network go to this throwback, that shit should have been on Fox. But you know, I digress.
Yeah. So they, you know, it was a, so Aleister Black segment got cut because of time constraint, and there was supposed to be a debut on that show, but she got cut due to time constraints.
And who was that?
Mia Yim.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Mia Yim was scheduled to start her SmackDown debut, and she was probably, so they say that she might be on there this Friday, and she should be starting a story with Carmella. Now, I'm wondering, did Carmella go back to her old gimmick? Because she's not doing the whole, she was up there moonwalking.
Nah, not really. It's kind of a cross between the new one and her old one, so it's not like all the way back to the old one, but it's still got some elements of the new one too.
Okay, so yeah, so you know, look out, see if Mia Yim is going to start on SmackDown this upcoming Friday. And speaking of Mia Yim, Keith Lee posted some cryptic tweets. He posted some cryptic tweets, so I don't know what that could mean, but he might be feeling some kind of way.
I know one thing. Triple H needs to go ahead and pull whatever strings he did for Finn Balor and get Keith Lee back in NXT. Because
right,
if they're not going to put him on Raw and have him be the person to save Monday Night Raw, then they just need to send him back to NXT.
Because he said today is the day that can and will define the future. The wheels can have motion and move forward, or they can stop completely. Make your wheels turn, accept no substitute. And then he tweeted a picture from him at War Games. So you don't know. But it's like he always said, everybody, he keeps saying, don't fret. And it's like, we want to know what's going on, because it's just weird that he's off of TV for so long. And he, like, it was a lot. Like he was supposed to win a U.S. title, and he was, you know, supposed to be on a nice push, but yeah, let that man be who he is.
Nah, man, like, Vince wants him to be traditional big guy and do traditional big guy things.
I want Vince to be a traditional senior citizen and retire and enjoy the rest of his days, but he's still at a political position and coming late to his creative meeting. So, no, fuck that. It's so annoying. You know, he just, only talking about he don't understand stuff. You like old, sir. Just go home and enjoy your retirement and watch your company make money going into the future, and watch that forbidden door open, because I know once you leave and they find a way to get rid of old Bucky too, camera guy.
Vince may go, but Kevin Dunn's sticking around, son.
Nah, we're gonna find some way to get him out of there.
That's number one producer, man. That, you know, he's a director.
Damn that. Going nowhere. Damn that. We're gonna find a way to get him up out of there. okay, so next on the docket. So during Monday Night Raw, there was some whispers that there was someone new backstage. And
MJF?
No. Oh. MJF would not come to this company after being pushed through the wall by Samoa Joe years ago in NXT. But so there was a certain, you know, person who's in a sleep-like state and known for his over-the-top flamboyantness in the ring. And then he got caught. Yes.
On Raw, huh?
He was backstage. And that was making the rounds before the show ended, so we don't know.
Well, I mean, they seem to be trying to infuse Monday Night Raw with some new talent. They got the reinforcements for Main Event.
We'll talk about that. And we're also going to talk about how you need to stop sleeping on Ali Ricochet and get into it. Get into the greatness.
Who, me?
Yes, you. Stop being a hater and watch those.
If they don't put that shit on Monday night or on Friday or on Tuesday.
Oh, you should have mentioned Friday because I was going to be... I need to get him. Raise his brand.
I won't see it unless they put it up there on like a, hey, guess what's happening on Main Event, and show me some highlights.
Xavier Woods was doing that. He said he was like, if you're not watching what Ali and Ricochet doing on Main Event, you're missing some great content. You're making some great matches. And they up there sending, doing vignettes and everything, talking about running back. And then, you know, Ricochet got the text of the call. He spent that call around and was going back.
Well, you know, I'll take your word for it that they're doing some extraordinary things over on Main Event. It is Main Event. And yes, that does not have any of my attention. So until they put that shit on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, I'll just hearsay about it and take y'all's word for it.
And speaking of which, looks like Nikki Cross is back on this week's Main Event. So that's the missing face.
The Main Event crew. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to skip over to AEW. Ricky Stark has a neck fracture, so he's going to be out for a while.
A neck fracture?
Mm-hmm.
He had to get it in the match against Hangman Page because that's the last match he wrestled. Unless it was one of the beatdowns. Damn, Ricky Starks, that sucks. Oh, you know what? I know exactly when it happened. It was in that match against Hangman Page when he landed on his head funny, but he kind of got back up. You didn't see the match, so don't. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't. You know what? You didn't see it. But anyway.
You know what?
Oh, and can I say one thing that's not related to anything wrestling related, but just in general?
Knock yourself out.
People, don't go panic by this gas. We're going to run out if you do that. Dumbasses.
Oh, yeah. They really are losing their mind right now.
It's like,
which will cause the gas station to raise the prices. So don't do it.
Yeah, it's like, why are y'all so dumb? It's like, if everybody rushes out at one time, yeah, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to run out of gas. But if you just consume the gas like you normally would, you'll make it until the supply comes back. But no. So it's going to happen. Everybody going to rush to the gas tank, fill up every car and gas can they own. And then guess what's going to happen in like a day and a half? There really ain't going to be no gas.
Crazy.
People are so dumb. They let it's like the media tells you to be informed, not so you can go out here and panic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Yeah. Also, on the AEW front, they want to go back to touring, I think, this summer.
Yep, they said July.
Yeah. So, for those of you who want to go see an AEW show, here's your chance.
Also, you got to be in Texas or Florida, though. They ain't going everywhere.
No, they're not. So apparently WWE has picked a date for SummerSlam, and apparently they're looking at three sites, either in Texas, Phoenix, or Madison Square Garden. So, just be on the lookout for that when they officially announce location, the venue. Next NXT TakeOver is going to be In Your House 2021. So look out for that. What else? Godfather's going to be on the next episode of Broken Skull Session. So look out for that.
Pimping ain't easy, but it sure is fun.
Yep. Apparently, Becky Lynch signed a new contract. Don't know the details, but if she did, she should be coming back hopefully soon. And the last thing I have, WWE filed a trademark for Blair Davenport. Who's Blair Davenport supposed to be? I have no idea. But they filed the trademark for it, so their name popping up on the TV screen soon.
Okay.
Heard it here for-
okay. Well, good luck to whoever Vlad Davenport is and his future endeavors with the company. So we'll see who
this could be
is.
A woman.
Yeah. Could be. Anything else?
Wait, hold up. It said Raw tops cable ratings with WrestleMania Backlash go home. I hope this is a troll because no.
No, definitely SmackDown though. SmackDown was the highest rated show in the time slot on Friday. They won the 18-34 and they won the 34-49. They won all the metrics. They were the best show on TV Friday night.
Yay, SmackDown. Woohoo! Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, that's all I got. Anything, I got a couple other things, but we can tie that in with the main show.
All right.
And that's after we talk about who we got.
Yeah, because it is, as Mo has contractually obligated me to say this, WrestleMania Backlash this Sunday.
But our hashtag will be
Backlash Matters. Hashtag Backlash Matters. So yes, please on Sunday night, please share commentary with color by using the hashtag Blacklash Matters. As we will be starting at 7 o'clock with the Say No to pre-shows, 7 o'clock should be the start of the show. Pre-show. So we'll get right into it. Hold on, let me pull up the ledger so I can get these who you got thoughts down so I can get Miss Jade's thoughts and then I can
who you got?
Who I got?
No, I was saying Bernie Mac when he said who you with.
Oh, so I can redeem myself from WrestleMania when I got like night two, I only got like one right. It was awful. It was awful. Yeah, it was bad. That's the worst I've done in quite a while when it comes to the booking prowess of WWE. I had no clue what was going on for WrestleMania. So we'll start with the triple threat match for the WWE Championship where we have Lashley defending his title against Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. Who you got?
Who?
Mo to the underscore. Oh, Braun, Drew, and Lashley. Who you got?
Oh, Braun, Drew, and Lashley. Wow. I'll say the champ retains.
All right. Lashley.
Where's Leo? Where's Leo?
I'm going to do the same thing. Actually, Leo rushes in New Japan Strong at the moment.
Yeah, I know. I was just joking around.
Hanging out in California with the boys. But yeah, I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley as well. Universal Championship, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns defending his Universal title against the Swiss Superman Cesaro. Mo to the underscore. Who you got?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take the risk. And I will say it will be Cesaro section.
Yeah, you definitely.
Cesaro will be upset.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and put the X by your name for this one. Roman Reigns is going to continue to be the head of the table, the tribal chief, the master of the king of the Isle of Relevancy. Acknowledge him. That's all you must do. Next up, SmackDown Women's Title Match. We got the champion, Bianca Belair, defending against Bayley. Mo, who you got?
Binky. Hands down.
Yep. I agree with you there. Should be a heck of a match, though. These two have
some really
good chemistry. They've had some really good interactions leading up to the match itself, so I'm looking forward to that. Another triple threat match for a championship, but this time it's for the Raw Women's title, as we have Asuka, Charlotte, and Rhea Ripley vying for that Raw Women's title. Who you got?
Champ retains.
Now, see, this is the one where I'm going to say it's going to be Charlotte Flair, because, you know, Charlotte Flair is the female Okada. She just doesn't operate or have a spot in this company if she don't have the title.
Oh, well, she may learn the work her way around. Sorry, Charlotte, it's a girl, but.
And because they always do this to us, they only have 5 matches listed, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be like another one or two added between now and Sunday. But we have Ziggler and Dolph Rude, Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, they're Dirty Dogs, defending against the Mysterios for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Who you got?
History will be made as Ray and Dominic will win the tag team titles, become the first father and son tag team champions in WWE history.
I agree with you. I think the Mysterios are going to win it as well. And then, like I said, if there's a additional match that gets added by the time me and Jade record on Sunday,
I will DM it to you and give you my
your picks.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it so very much. Again, this Sunday, use the hashtag #BacklashMatters to share your commentary with color. With us.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Damn.
That's all the matches that are made. That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure they're going to have something else pop up.
Oh, okay. That was like, damn, no Raw. Okay, well, they ain't going to do all the time.
So, well, you know, Shayna and them are wrestling on Friday, so that's their match.
They are. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and might that be nothing for the U.S. or the IC. So.
No, because they got Randy and...
We might get a four-way for the IC.
Yeah, I was about to say, they might put that Intercontinental title match in there on Friday. But if they do, we'll definitely get your thoughts on it, and we'll get your who you got, and we'll add that to the list. But yeah, I don't really know how exciting this pay-per-view is going to be. Binky and Bayley should tear it down. Cesaro and Roman should be a lot of fun. And then everything else is just going to be on the show for me.
All right.
So that brings us to Monday Night Raw. After we get a recap of what happened in the main event, we start with Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Shayna Baszler versus Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, and Asuka. Mandy Rose is back in her white boots that I like so much, so thank you very much, Mandy Rose. After Reginald backflips off the apron, here is Alexa Bliss on her swing with Lily next to her. Alexa Bliss says she is here to watch someone. So after Dana Brooke got a hot tag and was running wild, Shayna Baszler gives her a backbreaker, and then her knee gives out. It starts shaking, and Shayna collapses, allowing the legal Asuka to come in, hit the Shining Wizard, and get the pin. So it looks like Lily and Alexa Bliss out here done put some voodoo on Shayna Baszler. After the match, Charlotte drops Asuka as Alexa laughs a lot on her swing.
Oh, man. What kind of craziness they got going on there?
I don't know. It's not Bray Wyatt. I don't know where Bray Wyatt is. I don't know why they are trying to push us this Alexa Bliss, which is not as good and doesn't make any sense for her to be going after Shayna Baszler, but they don't even have no history together.
They don't. But, you know, things happen. You know, you got to start somewhere. So, you know, he's watching somebody.
Riddle scooters up to the New Day in the back and talks about how RK-Bro is in the process of registering to be an official tag team. That's better than AJ Styles and Omos, who aren't even a real team. Randy Orton comes up, and the three of them talk about how great it was when Orton got hit with the tomatoes. Orton doesn't seem to agree, but finds the idea of ending careers and people and kicking people in the head funny. Violence is promised for later. He's like, you know what I think is funny? Ending careers, killing legends, ending careers, kicking people in the head, setting shit on fire, setting people on fire. That's what I think is funny. It's like, damn, okay, Randy.
Hey, he has an agenda.
MVP, he comes in to see Braun Strowman, who tells him to get out. Strowman isn't interested in talking business, but MVP says that Bobby Lashley would rather lose the WWE title to Strowman instead of to Drew. And he said, if he had to lose, of course. He says, tonight, if Drew would happen to get hurt, that would leave us with just Lashley versus Strowman on Sunday with no McIntyre to interfere. Strowman doesn't like MVP, but he seems interested in this proposal.
MVP, the manipulator.
Master strategist.
So, manipulator.
we recap Damian Priest beating John Morrison last week thanks to some botched Miz interference. Damian Priest versus Miz is set for WrestleMania Backlash.
Oh, that's what we forgot.
What? Oh, Damian Priest versus The Miz. Okay, yeah, there you go.
That's one match we forgot.
Who you got?
Priest. We'll see what the stipulation is later, but Priest wins.
Okay. I am going with that as well. Now we go to the gorilla position, and it's the modern day Maharaja Jinder Mahal. He's back. Hashtag never hinder gender. Hashtag gender gang. Hashtag gender hive. He's back with Veer and Shanky, basically in this year from NXT, if you remember those two guys. And he says he is ready to get back to the throne and carry that WWE championship. So then we get a remix from Main Event. Jinder Mahal versus Jeff Hardy. The twist of fate is countered into a jumping knee to the face, followed by the Colossus, and Jinder Mahal is victorious back on Monday Night Raw.
Okay. So this is the part, one of the more mounts of things I was saving for here. So Drew McIntyre feels that he wants to get away from the title scene. And he's proposing to do like a reality-based storyline with Jinder Mahal. So we'll see how that operates, if that comes to fruition. But that would be a good match because, you know, they were both in 3MB together, and so they both had title runs with the WWE with the title runs and everything. So this would be good to see him come back and feud with Drew. And this will get Drew away from the title scene and get a fresh face up there for the
WWE title.
Yeah, I keep forgetting who got which title.
Charlotte, who has gotten out of her wrestling gear and into this black cat suit, comes in to see Sonya Deville, who's also wearing all black. Andrade, you better start, you know, noticing.
They keep your girl. Yeah. Watch your girl, dog.
Sonya Deville, he's going to be calling her Mrs. Steal Your Girl.
Mm-hmm. Don't call her daddy for nothing.
Elias and Jackson Riker, they have tomatoes, but AJ Styles and Amos come up to ask why they're doing this. Elias loads up a song, but AJ says, we're just going to be more serious, and then Amos crushes a tomato to prove his point.
They don't like tomatoes.
They don't like ketchup?
No, he said he liked tomatoes, so that's why I almost squashed the tomatoes.
RK-Bro in the New Day versus AJ Styles, Amos, Elias, and Jackson Riker. Amos makes the save and knocks Riddle out of the air with the right hand. Woods drop kicks AJ through the ropes, and the New Day grabs AJ by each of his legs and start turning him around in a circle like a merry-go-round. Back in, Orton hits the RKO to finish off Elias. And then after the match, Orton hits the RKO on Kofi and Xavier Woods as Riddle looks on very unhappy. He's like, come on, man, that's why we don't have no friends. This was fun. I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. Continues the RK-Bro situation. Keeps the New Day and AJ Styles and Amos in their little situation. And it gets Elias and Jackson Riker on TV.
So they just declared a state of emergency in Florida, Virginia, Georgia, and North Carolina amid gas shortages. So whoever put the ransomware on the pipeline, they kind of fucked it up.
Nah, they didn't fuck it up. It's just that people went out here and panicked. There was enough gas to make it through, dude. If people wouldn't have just been out here trying to gas up everything they own. Like, come on, man. And see what's going to happen is now, that's how like, oh, it's going to be 4 to 5 days before the gas supply is like, so, you know, now you're going to have to go through a whole week trying to drive to the ends of the earth to figure out where the gas is at. Hopefully one of my gas stations that I like to go to will have some when I show up at work tomorrow. Because I tried to go around today, but I went to like 2 gas stations at like 7 o'clock this morning and was like, okay, I see what this is doing. This is already ridiculous. I got a half a tank. I'm not in dire need. I'm not going to be running out on the side of the road anytime soon, so I'm good. But yeah, don't go buy all the gas up at one time, people, or it will run out.
X is wrestling.
Rhea Ripley, she comes into Sonya Deville's office and gets in a showdown with Asuka. Tonight they're going to have a match, which Rhea doesn't seem to like. She saw Charlotte come in here earlier and knows what that means. Asuka says that she already had a match, but she is ready for Rhea anyway. Ripley says, game on.
This is an interesting development, but, you know, it seems like, you know, Charlotte is to Sonya Deville is to what Adam Page is to Roman Reigns, so...
That's true. But still, again, it's like, you know, what do they have to do to tell somebody no, though?
You know, you tell them no, they kind of have consequences, so.
Right. It's like, come on, man. It's like, you know, Charlotte can't get everything she want, but apparently she can if she keeps going to Sonya Deville.
You know, they say, what she say, be fair to Flair. Like,
yep.
So you know, she's a pretty good dancer, apparently. Well, not apparently.
Charlotte Flair? She's doing the thing with Nia.
Yeah, and Shayna came up in there.
Yeah.
Busting the groove.
Yeah. I was like, so
Shayna's around.
I was looking. I was like, is that Charlotte? But you know, she's had so much work done. It's kind of hard sometimes to be like, if she's not in her like wrestling gear, like, is that Charlotte?
Mm-hmm. That's her.
Associated Press, panic buying that analysts say is unwarranted caused more than 1,000 stations in the Southeast to run out of gas after the shutdown of a major pipeline by hackers. Government officials are speeding up fuel deliveries, but say there's no cause for alarm. People just out here being dumb. But I digress. MVP doesn't like the idea of Bobby Lashley having to beat Drew McIntyre again because it's like a sequel with a foregone conclusion. Lashley promises to win tonight, and MVP won't have any discussion over ongoing negotiations with Braun Strowman. Sheamus versus Humberto Carrillo. The Alabama Slam gets a two count on Carrillo, so Sheamus takes him up top, only to get pulled down with a Super Hurricane Rana. Humberto Carrillo attempts a sunset bomb to the floor. It connects, but Sheamus lands on Carrillo's knee. Humberto is clearly hurt. The referee calls off the match and declares Sheamus the winner. Any Mo Meltzer follow-up on Humberto?
Oh, yes. See, look at you. Look at you playing, doing the lead-in. So apparently he's fine. When I saw watching, I was like, okay, I thought it was like he was doing a good sales job, but they said it wasn't supposed to be the finish of the match. But so apparently they were just taking the precaution and whatnot. So he said he's doing fine.
Okay, that's good.
I don't think it's gonna be no missed time or nothing like that. You know, the way he landed, I thought it was like it looked like more like Sheamus landed on him, and then that was that. But I thought it was like you gonna see like the knee buckle, like you know how you see a knee buckle and be like, oh, you know, like when somebody in the NFL, a runner, you know, do a cut, and you can see when the knee just goes one way, and the runner will try to go another way. So, yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, hopefully, it was just jammed tailbone or something like that, and maybe a little injured knee, but it won't be, like you said, he won't have to miss any significant time. We get a video vignette on the Lucha House Party. Basically talks about their, you know, trials and tribulations and coming up through the hard times, and they're still Lucha lit.
Mm-hmm.
All Red Everything. Eva Marie wants to prove herself, so she is back where it all began, and she's coming to Monday Night Raw very soon.
Now, here's another thing. So basically, they literally try to build her up as a face. But I don't know. This could be one of those, I'm a face, but I could be my message is like face like, but I'm really a heel. They were talking about that.
Okay. I don't know how they're going to play it. I'm just waiting for her to debut.
She got to a spat with Bailey on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, and they have something. Didn't they have like a rivalry in NXT for a cup of coffee and stuff like that?
I'm not sure about that. I don't ever remember Eva Marie being at NXT. I just remember her always being on the main roster.
Oh, she went out for NXT for a cup of coffee. She went back.
Okay.
Can I clearly remember when we was talking about. I meant to bring this up last week when Total Divas was just starting. This is when she started, when she got signed with the company, her and JoJo. That's when Total Divas was just beginning, and AJ Lee cut that promo on all of them. And it was like they had to tell JoJo to get in the ring because JoJo was still outside. And all of a sudden, you see JoJo creeping in the background. I mean, that's why JoJo's like, yeah, I'm a mother now, so I don't need to worry about this. Dozo was like, hey, I found a rotunda. And I'm going to have me some kids.
Shelton Benjamin versus Cedric Alexander. The pay dirt is countered into a roll-up, followed by the neuralizer to drop Shelton Benjamin. But Cedric takes way too long trash-talking and walks into the exploder suplex. And Shelton Benjamin picked up the win over Cedric Alexander.
The trope that Cedric felt, that he felt victim to talking trash and saying he's the best and not letting his actions speak, and got caught.
Yeah, you can't get too cocky against a veteran like Shelton Benjamin, man. And that's the story that they basically are telling here, is that, yes, you may be in the prime of your career, but you're not as seasoned as Shelton Benjamin is. We recapped last week and Angel Garza kicking the rose up the hind parts of Drew Gulak. Gulak interrupts Garza's photo shoot and asks if he is going to be serious. Garza doesn't seem to mind and threatens to do it again if they have it next time.
I'm glad that Gulak getting some time on TV, even though it's this kind of rink-a-dink storyline, but I'm kind of cool with that.
Where is the PowerPoint, though?
See, he had a gimmick with that. And I was like, I was into it. I was totally on board. See, it seemed like the gimmicks where the superstars have like something, you know, Chris Jericho had the list. Billy Kay had the resume. Drew Gulak had the PowerPoint. The object was more over than it was more over than some wrestlers were. So,
well, you know, the wrestlers have to get it over, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, Chris Jericho got the list over like hotcakes. Every week we was wondering who's getting put on the list or what he was going to do next. I still watch somebody did a montage, like a random way Chris Jericho put everybody on the list, all the people he put on the list and everything. And it was just it's so good. And the last one is when he put James Ellsworth on the list. When he looked, he was like, who the hell is that? And he go told him something. Seems like we have a lost child at ringside. And he called him Chits McMahon. He was like, Chits McMahon. I was like, oh my goodness. Jericho was just so much gold with that list. Where we at on this Raw show?
Rhea Ripley versus Asuka.
We were talking about Drew. And you was asking about the PowerPoint. Okay, so go ahead and continue.
Ripley heads outside to yell at Charlotte, who's on commentary, allowing Asuka to hit a hip attack off of the announcer's table. Back in the ring, a missile dropkick gives Asuka a two count, but the hip attack in the corner, she gets pulled out of midair. Ripley kicks Asuka in the head and then hits the Riptide, and a rear Ripley pins Asuka before their triple threat match this Sunday.
Yeah, she did that. Charlotte was looking kind of good with that cat suit on, that full body suit, whatever she had on. She was looking kind of tight. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't pushed up on Charlotte's girl or nothing like that, but she's looking kind of tight.
Drew McIntyre says he isn't worried about Braun Strowman tonight because he's moving on to WrestleMania Backlash to get the title back. Then that brings us to John Morrison versus Damian Priest, the winner of the match gets to set the stipulation for the Backlash match between The Miz and Damian Priest.
Hey, Damian Priest knows he is in the head of The Miz. He knows he's in the head of John Morrison.
Oh, big sidewalk
slam. Cover here.
Morrison has been unable to get out of the gates tonight.
And you have to wonder what sort of stipulation either Morrison or Priest can dream up. I mean, you've got six nights until WrestleMania Backlash. How sadistic, how nefarious can your mind get when you've got a rival Let's be honest. Priest and Miz can't stand one another.
I guarantee you, all those thoughts are going through the mind of the Miz right now, because if Damian Priest wins this match, Miz has absolutely no say in what he's walking into at WrestleMania Backlash.
With this unique offensive attempt by Morrison, Priest able to roll through.
There it is. Creative assault here.
Really an unorthodox takedown by Morrison, but effective nonetheless. Priest able to shrug Johnny Drip off with some of this parkour.
What a shot.
Good night.
Shoulders down.
Kick out by Priest.
Shoulders are down. One, two, three, four. I think he got him.
Boy, would you look at that, like history repeating itself. Morrison once again had a chance to beat Priest, and the Miz cost him that.
On the big clothesline there by Damian Priest.
Come on, John.
I think poor Miz is beside himself.
Reality is starting to slowly set in.
Damian Priest hit the lights.
Morrison down into the cover, and Priest will kick the stipulation.
An all-out assault.
Miz is furious.
Yeah, Miz is just a sore sport. The Miz understands he's got no control now over his WrestleMania Backlash destiny.
Miz now looking for a skull-crushing finale. Just to remind Priest,
Priest has other plans.
Oh, my.
Oh, Miz out of harm's way just in time.
You better save yourself, Miz. You better regroup and figure out a game plan, because you have no idea what you're walking into this Sunday.
Damian Priest will now choose the stipulation as Miz
goes running.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Oh, no.
Hey!
Now, this is uncalled for. Don't do this, Priest.
This is a message.
Another hit the lights
to the Miz. This is what's in store for you this Sunday.
What is the stipulation going to be? That remains to be revealed.
Miz cannot be too happy with John Morrison. Miz better get over it.
I wonder if with moving over to SmackDown, are they going to change it to The Reckoning, change it back to The Reckoning?
They might, but I think he's gotten it over. We hit the lights now, so
that's
like his gimmick. Is he supposed to be like, you know, a partier, New York City partier guy? So the hit the lights is apropos for his, you know, for where he comes from. After the match, Miz runs in to go after Damian Priest, but he breaks away, sending Miz running. Another hit the lights plants Morrison, and the Miz is terrified. They have not announced the stipulation as of yet. Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, they run into each other in the back. And if once wasn't enough, we have a second Eva Marie vignette. This time she's talking about looking like a supermodel, but wanting to be your super role model. That was the part I'm sure Bailey had problems with, right?
Indeed. And that's where that little twist back sparked off at.
Who do you think has the upper hand in this battle of Twitter beef?
Bailey, hello.
Okay.
Because Eva Marie was trying to talk about some, how she a role model and blah, 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 blah. Like, the only role model I acknowledge is Bayley.
Okay. All right.
She held SmackDown down for throughout the pandemic and when it hit the Thunderdome. So I don't want to hear it. Her and Sasha had that summer on lock. Clink, clink.
Damian Priest decides that he wants a lumberjack match because he's tired of the Miz always running for higher ground. He's like, this way, if the Miz tries to run, there will be people from Raw and SmackDown to make sure that he gets back in the ring and has to fight Damian Priest. You feeling that?
Yep. Damian, I'm telling you, Damian's going to be, he might, once he gets done with his Miz thing, he might answer Sheamus' open challenge for that U.S. title.
That could be fun. That has potential. Apparently, Damian Priest has gotten the blessing from Scott Hall to do the Scott Hall ring walk and the Razor's Edge. So, look out for that. And
see, okay. you get the cosign, the A Chico.
Main event time: Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. The Glasgow Kiss rocks Lashley. MVP is panicking as McIntyre grabs a spinebuster for a two count. Lashley is back up with the crossbody, but the Hurt Lock is blocked. Instead, Lashley suplexes Drew down, only to walk into the Claymore. That's when Braun Strowman jumps Drew McIntyre from behind for the disqualification. So after the match, Strowman gives McIntyre a running power slam, followed by a running power slam for Bobby Lashley for trying to hug Braun Strowman. Another power slam plants McIntyre, and another power slam sends Lashley through part of the barricade into the Thunderdome universe. And then a third power slam to Drew McIntyre ends the show.
And that's the end.
And that is your go home for Backlash this Sunday. Braun Strowman.
See you correctly, sir.
Huh?
Say it correctly.
WrestleMania Backlash. And so Braun Strowman has laid everybody to rest. So you know what that means.
He gonna lose. He gonna lose.
Yep. Yep. You are correct. But, I don't know. This Monday Night Raw was like a 3 or 4. I mean, it was okay. It wasn't an object disaster. But, you know, it's far behind.
It was better than other weeks, previous weeks.
It's far behind SmackDown and NXT, though.
Yeah.
Well, man, somebody is gonna come through.
You and Sammy get to cover NXT. You and Jay get to cover SmackDown Matters. Oh no, Mo, you can do the broadcast. And now look at this. We gotta sit through this because we have to entertain Jay, Jupiter Julep, and all the other ladies of the glow.
Yeah, you knew it was bad this week because Cammy D and Anissa didn't even show up in the live tweet. Live tweet was real light this week. People would definitely have had enough of Monday Night Raw.
Damn.
For a month. This month anyway. So we'll see where it goes heading forward after this pay-per-view. Maybe this pay-per-view can inspire some people into tuning back in, but I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. If you don't know?
You never know.
I mean, it could be one of those ones where it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't expect a lot in it. And since I had low expectations, this was actually really good. But, you know, I'm going to try to keep my expectations low.
That's how I got to be. If you have low expectations, then you come out surprised.
Right. I definitely believe that because the more expectations you put on these WWF stuff, they have diminishing returns a lot of time.
WWE, get the F out, sir.
Sorry, WWE, excuse me. Freudian slip. It's still throwback weekend for me. Thank you. Yeah, so that was Monday Night Raw. You know, about the same as it has been.
Real quick. So apparently, Tar Pettingale has come back to host the In Your House, NXT TakeOver In Your House, so gonna look out for that.
Yeah, you stealing my shine for 2 days from now, but that's cool. That's Mo Meltzer.
It's part of the It's Mo Meltzer segment. I meant to say that because I saw that he was coming back to host it. So you and Simi can run with that one. That's a gift from me to you and Simi.
Appreciate it. Todd Pettengill is the gift, because the last one they had, what's the dude, the control center, Sean Mooney. They had Sean Mooney on the last one, so this one they're having Todd Pettengill, which is cool.
I thought Todd Pettengill did that one too.
No, it was Sean Mooney.
But Todd Pettengill came back for, well, I don't know, but that's good that he's coming back to do the show.
Yeah.
Because that was his pay per view.
Yeah.
That was his thing. He was hosting it.
In Your House was an institution, man. It was the era of WWF right before they went to the big time. It was like, oh, we got to recalibrate what we're doing. And it actually turned out that was one of the things that actually started getting them moving forward in the right direction. Or there's mm-hmm. In Your Houses. So, yes, good nod to NXT for bringing that back as the next takeover. Always enjoy when they use the nostalgic names and events for NXT. It's always cool.
Remember the last In Your House takeover?
Mm-hmm. Io Shirai jumped off the
top of the house.
Yeah.
Y'all girl.
Yeah, man. Did you see the highlight video I sent you, right?
Listen, I was looking for Kyrie singing. I was like, oh, Kyrie singing. I said, wait a minute. It's Io's birthday, so why am I looking for Kyrie?
Kyrie was in there getting beat up by Io Shirai.
Yeah, you was happy with that.
No, it was just a video of all the high-flying things that Io Shirai has done on television.
That was a good stuff.
And Stardom, yes. Yeah, a bunch of just crazy stuff. Io Shirai has no fear. And that's why she's the genius of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And the best damn NXT Women's Champion of this past year.
Oh, I was going to say of all time. I'm about to say, well, we got some women who was going to very much disagree with that.
I don't know, man. Io had a pretty dope run.
Was it better than Sasha's? Was it better than Bayley's? Was it better than Shayna's?
It's probably better than Bayley's, and it's probably better than Shayna's, but not quite as good as Sasha's, I don't think. But it was damn good, though. I mean, she was like the longest running NXT Women's Champion, I think.
Was it better than Asuka's?
No, because Asuka was undefeated.
And that is.
But, you know, Vince was like, oh, really? Yeah, we're going to treat you like Goldberg. We're going to make you lose real fast. So that's not even, people won't even think that we're going to go that route with you here. But, oh well. All right, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Mo to the _ Reese for his shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to Dawn for another episode. Shout out to the WrestleCast family. Send me over on Wednesday nights covering NXT. And if you pay a little extra, you can hear her rant on the dark match when they cover AEW. Shout out to Terry's boy and Anwar Stalin. They do the international with the New Japan. I heard some things happen with New Japan, so some things went down. They had some cancellations and things like that.
Yeah, Japan is really having another hard time with the virus. And a couple of guys came down. I think they had the latest count, 7 people test positive for the virus. So they were already on like a mandatory shutdown until the 15th. So now it's probably going to be maybe extended a little bit past that. So some of these upcoming events have been kind of up in the air a little bit for New Japan. So we'll see what happens here in the next week to 10 days. Moving forward with them, if they're going to have to cancel any more shows or not. But that's that's what's going on with them.
Yeah. That's a shout to Jane. yo, shout out to Jade to the Max, holding down SmackDown Matters. Shout out to Didi Jonay. You know, Dawn almost slipped again, so we had to catch him. But you know, shout out to Didi for being the reason why SmackDown Matters. Shout out to Classic, because you know, without him coming with the brainchild that says, "Hey, I want to bring back the old WrestleCast show," and having, you know, putting the original host in place, you know, I wouldn't be here, City wouldn't be here, Anwan, Terry wouldn't be here, Jay wouldn't be here either. So, you know, Classic, thank you a lot. Shout out to Sam, Greg, two great guys who, you know, covers wrestling. I used to enjoy listening to the old episodes, and all three of y'all came with the depth of the wrestling depth. I was like, dang, I didn't even think about, you know, that and everything. Then y'all added DD once again to the fray, and y'all made, you know, the WrestleCast what it was. You know, back when we was recording, we was putting all the shows in the one episode, and Dawn said, "Oh hell no, we X this all out." When AEW came around, Dawn said, "Nope. Nope. We breaking these shows down." And here I am, just a listener, supporter, and part time guest. And he just threw me on the stage, you know, like whatever the guy named who's the lead announcer for Raw.
Oh, Adnan Verk.
I ain't gonna never get his name right because he still angers me leading the commentary. He's gotten better over the past couple of weeks, but I still want to know how's the boat fit on the track. I need to see something. I need to see blueprints. I need to see live pictures, something. But I need that presentation, a PowerPoint, you may say. Everybody, you know, Cammy D, Jupiter Julep, Miss V, Madame Lizette, Ananisi, Khaled Ren, Roll Up Sunny, Jerome, aka Word, Nice, Sean, you know, Dwayne. We got a nice, you know, conglomerate, Comic Book Chronicles, you know, shout out to them. They've been doing that thing for years. Just glad to be a part of just a great, you know, cool individuals. We, you know, we come together, talk our passion. You know, I get the chef of the end because it's Monday Night Raw, and you know, we had Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman was doing his thing, pushing new wrestlers, getting new faces in the product. And like Dawn said last week, AJ and the Good Brothers got butt hurt, and Heyman now is doing wonderful things with Roman Reigns, taking his career to heights we thought we would never see, because he was always that face, and they was pushing him down our throats, the best in everything. Roman got some new music, and now Roman is just on fire.
Yeah, he's surpassed about two levels up on the level up chart with this heel stuff, man. It's like, wow.
Oh, and one more thing, Dawn. WrestleMania next year is in Texas. If you pay attention to commercials and you see Stone Cold, that's the advertisement for the Texas WrestleMania. Okay. 2023, they'll be in LA. Okay. On Hollywood.
Well, yeah, we can keep this thing going until then.
Well, I mean, we may have to, but you know, somebody else might want to step up. You know, step up.
The only other person I could see that they've semi kind of got ready to step up that might be able to ascend, just because they've had a bunch of conversations about it, would be Big E. Him and Paul had a couple conversations on Talking Smack, where Big E's like, you know, my next step is that Universal title.
Paul Heyman puts the batteries in the back of wrestlers. I know him and Kayla that's basically kayfabe, but how the dynamic that him and Kayla, he's doing wonderful things with her. He did a thing for Roman. He, you know, gave Apollo to put the battery in his back. He's going, doing his thing. He told Bianca that she was going to win and she was going to be the future. She got her title. She's ready to go. Paul Heyman, like I said, we've been saying this for years, has that mind for the business. Now, he pays attention to what the younger crowds are looking for. You want to see, and you see what Roman is doing. If you ever go into the hashtags, like just the main wrestling hashtags, the Raw, SmackDowns, NXTs, and you just see what the other fans are talking about, you may get some crazy thoughts or whatnot, but other people are coming with some real incredible things. Like if a young lady, we was watching the Booker T thing, biography, and so she was like, a lot of y'all owe Vince Russo an apology because y'all thought that he was came up with the G.I. Bro, and it was like he was doing G.I. Bro down in Texas way before he came up. So, you know, but I would say Paul Heyman definitely has a great mind for this business, and a lot of people need to recognize it. Like I say, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, if not next year, either 2 years from now, or I'll say within the next 5 years, Heyman's going to be the WWE Hall of Fame, and he should headline.
You think so?
Oh yeah, he should definitely headline. Look at where he started. Paul E. Dangerously Hotline, the big cell phone, the mullet, Dangerous Alliance, ECW, Brock Lesnar.
First Cesaro, then Brock Lesnar. Cesaro is the original WWE Paul Heyman guy.
For real?
Yeah. When I first started watching wrestling, Cesaro was running around, rewatching wrestling again. Cesaro was running around with Paul Heyman.
And when was that? What year was that? Because
I want to say it was. Was it right after the shit with him and Jack Swagger and Dutch broke up? I think it was right after that. So it had to be like 2015.
So
2014.
But you got to think about Brock being around in the early 2000s. Heyman, so if you skipped out on wrestling during that time, then you must have missed when that initial run with Brock, and Brock and Heyman was with him then too.
Oh yeah. See, I remember Brock first coming in, but I didn't stick around to see him ascend and do all that other stuff.
Can you say, bro? Like, wait a minute. I was like, that's don't tell me Cesaro was really been around. I know Cesaro been around for some years, but yeah, he did. And he was CM Punk. Yeah, CM Punk was right with him too. And a lot of people was like, why CM Punk need Paul Heyman? But I said, yeah, think about it. CM Punk, he was an advocate for CM Punk when CM Punk was at OVW, and he saw what CM Punk was doing, and he was like, I need to get him up on the main roster. He's like, I need to get him up on the main roster. And can I remember when the Spirit Squad was down at OVW, and they was clowning CM Punk, and they was like, yeah, we made it to the main roster, and you still stuck down here. So, you know, and, you know, CM Punk came up here and did his thing. So, I know I'm going on the rant, but shout out to The Rock for that tequila. That tequila is very, very nice.
Oh, okay. I'll have to try to go take a look for it again.
Well, you're going to pay a pretty penny for it, so you know it's The Rock, so it's pricey, but it's worth it.
Well, good tequila is pricey, man.
Of course.
That's what I've learned in hanging out with my friend who only drinks like really good tequila. It's like, oh, okay, yes.
The cheap tequila. Never mind. I'm not gonna take it to the creep cast because
yeah, the cheap tequila makes you make bad decisions.
I remember. I think here's a throwback, y'all. So I went to Houston. I was with my ex, and I got the phone call. Dawn hit me the DM, was like, hey, you think you could be able to help with a show? And I was like, yeah. Remember, I'm in Houston and everything, but you know, me and my ex at the time, we were just chilling. And she had got me a bottle of this tequila that I was kind of sipping on when we was recording. She ended up falling asleep. I'm sitting here recording, and she ended up falling asleep, but I was sipping tequila, and yeah, like you said, bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Lead to some things.
Yeah, I bet it did.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that tequila, man, because it can go from real good to real bad real fast.
But it's real bad was a good kind of bad. So hey. but that's the end of my shout outs. I know I went on the rant, but I was taking some sips when we was talking, and next thing you know, I was kind of like what's dude name? He was on the show a couple years ago, and he went on a long Queen promo. And I'm listening to the throwback, and I was like, the playback, and I was like, yo, he is still talking. I was like, did Dawn or somebody send a text say, hey, bro, you got to wrap this up. Good old Dee Dee and say, hey, she was like, what the hell? He's still talking.
Well, I'd like to give a big shout out to Mo Meltzer, Mo to the _ Reese for once again enduring Monday Night Raw and coming on this show and reviewing it with me and helping me also preview Backlash, which is WrestleMania Backlash.
I was about to say it right.
Please use the hashtag Backlash Matters to share your commentary with color with us this Sunday. Like Mo said, check us out over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Check out the Dark Match. Check out me and Miss Simi reviewing AEW Dynamite, what we thought about Blood and Guts. Also, you can hear me and Mo to the _ Reese take a trip down memory lane as we talk about some classic hip-hop albums and songs and on this edition of the Dark Match as well. So that is out there for your consumption. Please become a patron. You can become a patron for as little as a dollar in here some of these episodes. So look out for us here on the CSPN. Also, go to CSPN.us, click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Do any shopping with any of those sponsors in the drop-down menu to help the show stay free each and every week. Okay, Mother's Day just passed. You have a month to get something for your father. So do that through Amazon.com. But first, go through CSPN.us and help keep the podcast free each and every week. Shout out to Miss Simi, Miss J to the Max, Miss Didi Jonet, Mr. Terry's Boy, who helped me review Wrestling Duntaku Nights 1 and 2. And we also dove in deep into the New Japan situation with the pandemic and the hiatus set until May 15th. Shout out to Madame Lizette and Ms. V and Jupiter Julep. Yes, I did listen back to the show from last week. And yeah, I might have kind of did a Bo Dallas victory lap for the return of Eva Marie. But I mean, what can I say? I was excited. Shout out to everybody who joins us in the hashtags each and every week. Dynamite Cast, NXT Cast, Raw Cast, SmackDown Matters. We definitely appreciate everybody sharing their commentary with color with us. So until next week, for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Get out of my locker room.
Hello, big guy. I just came to discuss some business with you.
I don't want to talk business with you. Get out.
Well, hold on. You're an intelligent guy. Just hear me out. Bobby Lashley didn't beat your ass, but Drew McIntyre did. And, I mean, the Almighty knows that. And he told me from his own mouth that you are the strongest individual that he has ever fought. And that if it wasn't for Drew, man, you almost beat him. Man, you came really close.
Enough of this BS. You said you wanted to talk business.
Okay, so, as I was saying, if Bobby Lashley had to lose the WWE Championship, not that he's going to, but if he had to, he'd much rather lose it to you than to Drew McIntyre. Besides, Drew's already had his opportunity to face Lashley for the WWE Championship, but Braun Strowman has not. And if somehow Drew McIntyre tonight got so injured that he wasn't even able to make it to WrestleMania Backlash on Sunday, well, then instead of a triple threat match, there'd be a one-on-one match between the Monster Among Men and the almighty WWE.